We're going to get into our emoji tiers. These are our preseason emoji tiers. This is our version of Power Rankings. If you're new here, we have five tiers. Not to be confused with the five tiers of support. These are five tiers for our Power Rankings. We have the Diamond, which is the top tier, followed by the Heart. Those are teams we love. Then the Question Mark. These are teams that we're not sure about. The Thumbs Down tier. Those are just bad teams. And then the bottom of the barrel, or I should say the bottom of the toilet, is the Poop tier. Those are the teams that just... they stink, so we're going to put them in the poop tier. The way we have laws around here, though, Brig, that we typically abide by for
most kind of more of the season. Like guidelines. Yeah,
you're right, more like guidelines. Three in the top, and then it's 8, 8, 8, and then three in the bottom. If my math serves me correctly, that should be 30 teams. Everybody falls within those groups. Okay, correct. So here we go with our emoji tiers. Brig, why don't you lead us off? Here we go with our Diamond tier.
I mean, honestly, my support or my picks for the Diamond tier are Braves, Dodgers, Orioles. Now, these are in no particular order. Right. But if I had to put them in order, I wouldn't because I don't have to. I just think these are the three best teams in baseball coming into this season, and they're the most exciting. They're the most fun to watch. And they're making the biggest promises for this season. And they have the best chance of paying off on those promises. That's probably the easiest way to break it down.
Okay. All right. So I'll switch over to my Diamond.
Do it.
Oh, there it is. It's the same. So, so there's a couple things here. The Orioles. So if I had to order these one through three, honestly, I would go Orioles, Braves, Dodgers.
Would you really?
I would, because I have a lot of concerns about the Dodgers defensively. Mookie Betts does not look good at shortstop. I don't love Max Muncy at third base. Freddie Freeman's at first, but Gavin Lux is kind of a question mark at second base. Right, and that outfield is a bunch of young dudes.
Yeah.
So I understand this team is supposed to be able to score runs with just about everybody. Offensively, they are a juggernaut. But
for sure,
as we saw with the Mariners, it was about a decade ago now, where they were like, well, we're not going to score any runs, but let's see if we can hold teams to no runs as well. They lost a lot of 1-0 and 2-0 ball games. I feel like the Dodgers, because of their inability on defense, because this is the thing, is those pitchers are going to give up hits, but they don't have much range. Mookie Betts can range left and right, but if he's going right, he can't make that throw to first. We saw that. He tried to make the Jeter throw. It's not the first time we've seen that weak arm. It didn't look good at all.
No, it was so disappointing, honestly. And
Max Muncy has like zero range at third base. Like I said, Gavin Lux, the question mark at second base. I could go all the way around again, right? Like, they're going to give up hits, and then they're going to give up runs because they're going to continue to give them up because they don't have a whole lot of range on that team defensively.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of concerns about the Dodgers defensively. I said a couple weeks ago, I thought they'd win 105 games. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it came down to the last game of the season between them and the Diamondbacks at 98 wins apiece.
Yeah, I could see that.
There's going to be some issues. They're going to have to figure them out. It's going to take some time and it's going to take some losses to figure it out.
Yeah.
So that's why I have the Dodgers at the bottom.
I would put the Dodgers in my third place as well for all the reasons you stated, but let's discuss Baltimore versus Atlanta, because I think what Atlanta was able to put together last year somehow just fell off a cliff, and whatever it is, I need them to have learned from this and I need them to have found a way to pull it together. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be able to. I really hope they are able to. I really hope they give us another incredible season in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
In the regulars. I'm going with that.
That's what it is now. It's the regulars.
It's late here, okay? It's the regulars. But I think that what you want to talk about offensive and defensive capabilities, they've got the whole package. They've got everything that you need. So if we're talking just getting through the regular season, I think the Braves still stand the best chance of having the winningest record through the regular season.
They do, because we saw them do it last year, and there's not a whole lot that's changed. And I feel like, though, because they had they had like five guys who didn't miss any games until they clinched their playoff spot. Yeah. And I think those guys were gassed by the time they got to the playoffs. And I think that was a big problem. I think this year they're going to kind of pace those guys a little bit more. They're going to be willing to sacrifice a couple losses here and there so they can carry their momentum into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're good enough top to bottom that, yeah, I think that they very well could have one of the best records in Major League Baseball. Like, I'd say one of I'm going to say the best record in the National League will go to the Braves this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Because I don't want to say Major League Baseball because I think the Orioles have a shot to be just like outstanding.
I think Corbin they have a Burns shot
to be as their ace. Like,
yeah, yeah, that's a big deal. I think that my concern with the Orioles is the division. I think if they were in a weaker division or a division with bigger holes, even if it wasn't like all the way weaker, I'm not saying move them to the Central in this conversation.
I was going to say if they're in the Central, they'd win 130 games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they're in the AL East and they've got teams with big time chips on their shoulder, first of all, and lots of talent and huge winning capability. Huge.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I worry about telling you or predicting rather that the Orioles are going to have one of the best records in baseball. I don't think so. Are they going to win big? Yeah, I think they are. But are they going to have the best record? Probably not.
Hmm. Okay.
But they're going to go deep.
Yeah, they will. They've got such a good team. They're going to be super strong this year.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Spoilers with the Orioles and my pick with them. Anyway, okay, let's move on to the heart tier. Go ahead, Brig.
Okay, teams that I think are enjoyable and are going to do well this season. The Astros make a ton of sense. They could easily have slid into the diamond tier, but they didn't. And, you know, I just have started to lose faith in the Astros being like in that diamond tier. I don't know if they're falling off. I don't know. I don't know if it's changes in management. I don't know if it's weird, you know, vibes in the clubhouse because of how long it took them to sign extensions and stuff. I have no idea, but I just feel like, and this is the worst analysis possible, but in my gut says the Astros are really good and not just outstanding this season. So anyway, the Phillies, on the other hand, are going to stay exactly the same. They're going to be really good. They're going to push deep. They're going to make it really hard on everybody else. And who knows what's going to happen? Anything could happen with the Phillies. They're going to be just outstanding. Diamondbacks, I love what I saw last season. I love some of the changes that they made in the offseason, and they're going to do really well this year if they can keep it together. Rangers, same thing, though I don't think the Rangers are any sort of repeat threat. I just don't feel that from them. I just don't think they have what it takes to come back and do it again. I put the Mariners here because I want the Mariners to be here. This is totally hopes and prayers type stuff. I really want the Mariners to be here. I think they have what it takes, and I think they just got to move some guys around and find their spots. And maybe move some of the young guys up, create some competitive drama in the clubhouse or something. I don't know what needs to happen. You do, though, Brad. You know what needs to happen. The Cubs are in here because of Craig Counsell, honestly. I think what Craig Counsell is going to be able to do with a team that has that much talent and did better than anybody ever expected last season in the first place is going to be awesome. So I'm very excited about that. The Blue Jays are either really, really scary or they suck. And this, I think going into this season, they've got really scary hats on, and we'll see what happens moving forward. I think the Yankees are in exactly the same place, and I'm a Yankees fan. I think when they're on and when they're hot and when they've got everything clicking, they're terrifying. And specifically offensive capability is going to be unbelievable this year if they can get everybody healthy and if they can gel. I think when they are off, they are bottom of the barrel bad this season. That's what it's going to look like. And I don't want to say that, But I'll bet you throughout the season, you watch the injured list, and this Yankees team, every time we do this once a month, that Yankees team is going to move up and down, up and down, up and down. They're playing hopscotch with my emotions all season long. You just wait.
This will be a fun ride, Brig.
Yeah, I can't, man.
All right, so my heart tier is pretty much the same. I've got the Astros, Phillies, Diamondbacks, Rangers, Mariners, Blue Jays, Yankees, but I swapped out the Cubs for the Reds.
Mm-hmm,
I'm really high on the Reds this year, Brig. Like, super duper. They have got such good young talent.
Mm-hmm.
The big question mark I have is, like, the back end of their starting rotation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, like, they have such good offensive power on that team, top to bottom. The fact that you've got a guy in Jonathan India who they don't necessarily have a spot for. I watched him play two times in person this spring and watched another game on TV with him playing. And he played in a different spot each time because I feel like they're trying to find a spot for him because they have so much talent. Yeah. So much bit more defensive talent in his place that they're like, well, we need his bat still, right?
Yeah.
And so they're trying to find a spot for him. And it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy to me that you have your rookie of the year from a couple of years ago who still is very good, and you are having a hard time finding a spot for him because you have so much talent on that team. So I'm very high on the Reds. I like them, honestly, to take the Central. I shouldn't get too much into that because we're...
Yeah, knock it off, Brad.
Sorry, I apologize. Obviously, I have my Mariners in the heart tier, and I'll tell you one big thing about this. I know last year I was really high on them coming out of spring training, but that was mostly a facade because I didn't feel super confident about like three of those spots in the lineup. It was because I had predicted like 4 years before that that was the year the Mariners were going to win the World Series, so I was riding it all the way, riding the bit, Brig. And so this year, I feel a lot more confident about this team that they're fielding than what they did last year. Like, so much more. Ty France was batting like third or fourth last year.
Yeah.
He hit eighth today.
Oh.
Yeah. Not only, and I think part of that is because he's coming off of, he had a terrible year last year. But yeah, also,
he had a really good stretch there. But
he did have a good stretch, but man, overall it was so bad. And he went to driveline with JP Crawford to try to fix his swing. Because he came out of there, he's like, I've been swinging mechanically wrong since I was in high school, which is crazy. Wow. The dude got to the big leagues that way and was like, just raking for so long and then suddenly fell off. Anyway, the Mariners lineup this year is so much stronger than it was last year, top to bottom. You've got Jorge Polanco batting third behind Julio Rodriguez. Then you've got Mitch Garver. And then you've got Cal Raleigh. And then you've got Mitch Garver. You got Mitch Haniger batting sixth, who was batting third just a couple years ago for the Mariners. Like, this team's way better. And I love them. I'm super excited. I'm way more excited to come out of spring training than I was last year. I know it's just spring training, but everybody's looked like they've been really clicking the last week or so. So.
Yeah, you can invest in fake baseball all you want, Brad. I do it all
the time. I'm going to. I am, Brig. and this is the thing, is that they looked good against the guys they needed to look good against, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's all contextual because you want your starting pitchers to look good too against the starters the first two times through the order. The first time through the order, like, okay, that's great, you know. Luis Castillo is ready to go, you know.
That's important.
So anyway, super high on the Mariners, the Blue Jays. Like you said, they're, and I'm not super sold on having them in this hard tier because there's a chance that they could just be like, you know what. We're all going to be free agents soon. Let's just break up the band.
They could, but it's the division they're in. You gotta respect it. That's the problem with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody wants to be embarrassed.
Right, and you don't know what you're going to get from Aquinoa this year because that was a train wreck last year. And then the Yankees, I feel like I have to put them here because of the talent, but I still am not sure which Yankees are going to show up this year because you don't know who's going to show up day to day with that team.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. And then same thing what you said, Astros, Phillies, D-backs, Rangers. They're all threats. They're all going to be threats this year.
Yeah. So,
all right. Let's go to your question mark.
Okay. I don't know what's going to happen in Minnesota. I want to see Minnesota walk it back and go deep again. But I don't know. I'll tell you who I am excited to watch is the Tigers. I am excited to watch the Tigers this year. I think they came with some magic a little bit last year. I think it was outshined by Miggy doing his final tour. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a cloak and dagger thing for the rest of us. But I think if you look just below the surface of the Miggy parade, you could see that they got some magic going on over in Detroit. I think we're going to start to see the fruits of that this season for real. It might not be pretty, but I think it's going to be effective.
I was hoping for it last year with my meaningless predictions, but it didn't work out. But I think this could be the year that it does.
It could be. It could be next year. I'm willing to say that it might not be there yet,
but it's
which is coming. Why I've got them. It's coming. It's why I've got them in the question mark tier, because maybe it's this year, maybe it's not. Maybe it's the first half of this year, maybe second half of this year. I don't know, but something's going on in Detroit, and I'm here for it. The Giants are here because of their moves they made this offseason with Matt Chapman and then Blake Snell and some others. That's the reason the Giants are here. Could go either way, honestly. And if you are right and you predict the Dodgers have such terrible defensive capabilities, then that is going to bring the Giants into a more contend, like a better spot to contend. And if that happens, then, you know, but again, those are all question marks, right? I have no idea what's going to happen. Yeah. So their success is somewhat dependent on the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers' success. The Padres.
It's so weird. It's a team. It's a team full of shortstops. Like, how do you feel the team?
Yeah.
Like, I think I don't remember if I said this last week or if I was talking to my dad about it, but like, positionless basketball works. Positionless baseball does not.
We talked about it. I don't know if it was on the show or not, but we talked about that too.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. And I don't think it's going to work. I don't.
Well, and the pitching is not.
No, it's not.
I'm not entirely sold on that pitching staff either. I know you got Yu Darvish still, and they did just get Dylan Cease.
They did.
But
this is again, this is where I'm like, because Manny Machado may be his strongest season to date, right? Like, he is just getting better and better, I think.
I know, it's crazy.
It makes no sense that he's just getting better. But so, anyway, this is all these reasons we're like, what's going on with San Diego? Like, that's why they're in the question marks here.
Right.
The only reason I've got the Reds here is because, like you said, Jonathan India is still platooning around trying to find a home. They just lost their starting third baseman to a PED suspension. They've got
So I don't think he was slated to start, though. I don't know that he was. I don't think they were planning to have him start opening day.
No, I thought he was.
So Noelvi Marte, he came over from Seattle in the Luis Castillo deal, and I don't think they were ready to have him start on opening day yet, because he came up last year and made his debut and it didn't go well. It was a little disappointing. So I think they're probably going to have him start the year in the minors this year anyway. I think now, though, they probably got him moved to the 40-man roster so he can do his time, and then he can come up or kind of go down or whatever. But he's still super young, and so he's got a lot of time to develop. But I don't think they're planning on him starting opening day.
Here's the problem, though, with the Reds is Elly De La Cruz was electric until he wasn't. And then his offensive capabilities just took a nosedive. And I thought, maybe this is young. Maybe this is some kind of yip. Maybe I don't know what to call it. But that's why they're in the question mark tier going into this season. I'm not sure what we're going to get. I like him. I'm excited about him. I'm just not sure. I'm not sold yet.
So, you think about rookies, the thing that separates the good rookies from the great rookies, the good rookies come out hot, and the good and the great rookies come out hot and they perform, right?
Yeah.
But they all dip, because everybody watches film on them and says, this is how we need to pitch this guy, this is how we need to approach this guy, and these are kind of his weaknesses at the plate, stuff like that. The great rookies adjust and come out of it.
Like Gunnar Henderson. He's going to have that same problem this year. It's going to be the same.
Julio had that problem throughout 2023 or 2022. Yeah. He had it in 2023 as well. Like, Julio had a down year. He was disappointed in his year. And he was top 5, top 10 MVP voting.
Yeah.
So the great rookies figure it out and they come back and they're even better. I think Ellie De La Cruz is going to figure it out.
I hope so.
And he's going to come back from it even better. So that's one of the things that I'm counting on with the Reds, why I have him in the heart tier.
That makes sense to me. I like it.
Cool. Anybody else you want to talk about in your question mark?
No.
Okay. I'll go to mine. So mine, okay. I have the Twins, Rays, Cardinals, Tigers, Giants, Cleveland, the Cubs, and the Royals.
Mm.
So the Cubs, I brought them down from the heart tier into the question mark tier because yeah. It was funny. I was sitting at a game the other day, and like you said, it's pretend baseball. It's all fake baseball. But I was sitting there looking at this team. I was like, this team has a lot of talent on the field. Where they're lacking in talent, I feel like, is pitching.
Right. Okay.
And so that's my big question mark with the Cubs, because you look around that field, like they've got a lot of talent, like I said, on that defense, holy cow, and up and down that lineup, like that's a good team. But man, if that pitching can't keep the other team off the board, they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
No doubt.
So that's my big question mark with the Cubs is their pitching. The Royals, I want the Royals to be good so bad.
Yeah.
They're a talented group, man. That is a good young team, led obviously by Bobby Witt Jr. Again, though, the pitching is a problem. Not so much the starting pitching. The starting pitching was pretty good last year.
Yeah, the bullpen. You called it a sieve.
Bullpen, man. Yeah.
You called it a sieve.
And it was.
That was the best. I still think about that. I was like, that's the greatest line I've heard on this show in maybe forever.
Dude, if they can just slow down the leak with that bullpen, they'll be all right.
Yeah.
Because they got a ton of talent on that team. And they're actually pretty fun to watch too. I like watching the Royals.
Yeah.
So all right, there's my question mark here.
All right.
Your thumbs down.
Okay, this is where the Mets go.
Okay.
This is also where the Red Sox go, and only because I couldn't put them. I only had three slots in the poop tier. So, and that's not a homer thing. That's how I feel.
I think about most their Red season. Sox fans have put them there as well, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think that's a shock. The Marlins, I don't have any hopes for this year. I don't. The biggest thing for the Pirates is developing Skeens and getting him up. When that happens, you know, that might bump them a little bit here and there. Until then, I'm not high on them. I again, the Royals, they're not doing it for me. I don't see any breakout performances. I don't see any sort of earth-shattering developments coming from them that's going to shake up the rest of the league or even their division. Anaheim's just where they are, and it's still a shame. The Nationals, honestly, they're my 27th out of 30 team. This is where I'd put the Brewers as well, specifically because they don't know if they care anymore. The front office is doing weird deals. I don't know if they care. I really it's so sad that they got to the playoffs last season. And we all got hot and bothered about the Brewers maybe having some success and Craig Counsell having more success and them being quietly good and quietly consistent and all the time this and all the time that. I'm fed up now. So they need to get off the pot, man. So I'm putting them down here. I don't care anymore.
That is outstanding analysis of the Brewers, Brig. I like that.
Thanks.
Okay, so... So I have the Mets, Red Sox, Marlins, Pirates. I put the Padres here, Angels, Nats, and Brewers. I don't like the way the Padres are put together. Like, Manny Machado can only do so much. Fernando Tatis Jr. can only do so much, right? Like, I understand these guys are all stars. They're mega stars. And Xander Bogaerts is an all-star. But they've moved these guys off their natural positions. And I have been saying this for – and I know Tatis was the Platinum Glover last year, but I feel like part of that was – surprise, right? Like, man, did you see what he did out in the outfield?
It's like
he deserves a platinum glove.
yeah,
I saw him make a great play tonight. Great plays are in fake baseball are still great plays. I don't even care, Brig.
Totally.
But I don't know. I just
especially defensive plays.
Yes. I get nervous about putting an entire team of shortstops out on the field and being like, go do your thing, fellas. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're an athlete. You're a tremendous athlete. You can play any position. It's not Little League anymore.
That's what they're telling Mookie Betts, and it's not working.
It's not working. No. Is Ha-Seong Kim is playing shortstop now for the Padres?
Yeah, so is everybody else, but yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing there, and it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to me. O'Neill Cruz is coming back for the Pirates. Very exciting, but I don't think it's going to move the needle for them. McCutcheon's there as well, and I want the Pirates to be good. I would love the Pirates to be good, but I don't think they're going to. I think they had that little run last year, and that's probably the best run that they're going to have until Skeens is up for an entire season at least.
It's going to depend on how they fortify him, too. He can't be out there hoping to do it all by himself.
No, and he can't be out there every day either.
No, exactly.
I mean, winning one out of every five games is not good. So for those of you keeping track at home.
All right, let's go to the toilet.
Okay, here's your poop tier.
My poop tier is White Sox, Rockies, A's. It's really simple. It's I've got a little inverted thing going on here. You could flip it. Oh. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. The White Sox were a dumpster fire last year, needed to tear everything down this year, which is funny. So it's funny, Brig. We popped over to the White Sox backfields because it was kind of a zoo at the Dodgers. Like, let's go see if we can get autographs over there. We did, because guess what, Brig? There was nobody there. But the thing that was funny was I pulled up their 40-man roster. I was like, they got some pretty good players on this team.
Yeah.
The problem is I just don't trust any of them to come out and win a bunch of ball games.
Nope.
I would love it if they did, though, because I'd like to see those guys do well and come out and move up to at least the thumbs down tier and push the Nats down to the poop tier. But right now, the way things ended last year, the way things look coming into this year, I got to keep the White Sox down here as well.
Yeah, I can't do it, man. I just have no faith. You go with your next one. I got to look up something.
Okay, so this I actually switched it over. This is my poop tier. It's exactly
the same. Oh, it's the same.
Exactly the same. Yeah, you didn't even notice because it was very sneaky. So I'll talk about the Rockies for a minute. So did you see the quote that came out by Chris Bryant that said that he?
I'm looking it up right now. That's literally what I'm looking up.
You pull it up.
Because that's the reason I didn't talk about the Rockies is because I wanted to have Chris Bryant do it for me.
Okay, so I'm going to filibuster with the A's. The A's don't spend any money. They are spending, I think it's $17 million less this year than what they did in 2007. The notoriously cheap team is going notoriously cheaper this year by not spending any money and having just bare minimum talent on the field, because they don't care what they put on the field for Oakland, because they're looking forward to Las Vegas already in what, like 5 years when that stadium's going to be done, something like that. So
a billion years.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's weird that the A's, it's almost like they're saving money to have money to put on the field when they get to Vegas, because they, for whatever reason, they don't want to spend it in Oakland. I don't know what it is. I don't care that you have a dilapidated stadium and you don't like the fans for not showing up, because we've had a whole show on that. Put a competitive product on the field and give your upcoming city something to look forward to. I feel like the way they're doing this move is absolutely wrong. And it really is bugging me.
Yeah.
So.
I don't blame you. Okay, well, I can't find the quote, but basically what Chris Bryant said was something that disparaged the farm system and the club itself in Denver. And he's come out since and apologized and sets the record straight. And
he claimed
he was misinterpreted and everything, but.
So he said, I've got it right here.
Okay.
There were there were other teams interested, but I didn't want to wait around. It was a completely different situation for a lot of free agents at the time. I guess I didn't do as much research into the prospects as I could.
Yeah, that's right. That's prospects as I could.
Yikes.
Yikes. And then he comes out later and he says, I have no room to even say anything like that, considering how my last 2 years have gone. for me to have the audacity to say something like, ooh, our players aren't good. I'm gonna say something like that after not performing and not being on the field like that is never how I would ever come across.
It's a microcosm of the Rockies.
Yeah.
Although they did just sign their shortstop to a seven-year, their young shortstop to a seven-year extension. So
they got to get him while they don't know any better.
Pretty much. Yeah. I think that's really what happened there, though, Brig, was that his eyes may have gotten big and he saw what he was getting from this team right now and he decided to take it. But why not? Financial security, Brig? Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he thinks that eventually they'll be able to come around and they'll be able to win. Or maybe thinks that in 4 years he can be like, you can trade me. And they will. Because they do. They're not going to want to pay him.
They do that. Yeah.
I'm sure that eventually they're going to be like, I bet you it's one of those things where they offered that contract extension the same way a lot of people buy a house. I'm going to get a 30-year mortgage because I'm not going to live here for 30 years. I'm going to want to sell this house eventually.
Yep.
We're going to extend him for 7 more years and we're going to trade him away eventually because we have no intention of having him for 7 because we're not going to pay for him.
Famous last words, right?
Yep. I mean, it's happened to Trevor Story pretty much.
Oh, geez. Pretty much.
Except, I guess they didn't give him extension, but still.
Catch new episodes of the Baseball Together podcast every Tuesday.